Blog Talk Radio.
We give it to you straight talk, no chaser. Welcome to the wonderful wide world of Russell, publisher of Be There Magazine, the hardest working man in marketing. We have some upcoming events coming up that you cannot miss. And on our newsmaker line, we have the one and only Anthony Brown, Tony Brown, a hair salon guru. Before we bring him up, we want to talk about the upcoming events that's coming up that you don't want to miss. The number one event that will be coming up is a Black Card event. It's going to be coming up May the 5th at Charlie's, a Black-owned restaurant and bar on Georgia Avenue. It's the ultimate networking happy hour, a top-shelf affair. Top-shelf men, top-shelf women, top-shelf businesses, top-shelf attitude, and top-shelf liquor. Nowhere in the city can you experience this night like you're going to experience it on May the 5th. Top shelf liquor. Anything you want. Ciroc, Hennessy, Courvoisier, $5. $5. If you don't want top shelf, you can get a real drink for $3. It's unheard of in 2016. Go to any restaurant, any place in D.C. They start at $12 to $15, $20 in some cases. The big event that you don't want to miss is the reunion. From Russell's News to Be There Magazine, celebrating 35 years of publishing. Before Facebook, before Twitter, before Instagram, it was Russell's News. 250,000 copies printed, distributed over 125 locations all throughout the city. We're bringing everybody back for a reunion on July 22nd. Tickets are on sale now. Early bird special for 35. After that, it's going to be 45. Only 50 people will get the 35 tickets. Go to www.bethermagazine.com and click on the events and buy your early bird ticket. We will be spotlighting people at this event that have contributed and done a lot of things, recognizing so many people that have contributed to the magazine and contributed to the DMV period. Matter of fact, on our newsmaker line, we have Tony Brown. He'll be recognized that evening for all of the work that he's done and contributed into the hair salon business. Let's bring him up right now. Tony Brown, you on the air? Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Oh, fantastic. It's great to have you on our newsmaker line. First off, Tony, give us a little bit of background about yourself. Are you from Washington? Where are you from Washington? How you got started in this hair business? Just give us a little background.
Well, I'm from Washington, D.C., born and raised. And I got in the hair business when I was in the federal government, and a rift came down. And I decided, what was I going to do? I didn't know nothing about hair, but I decided to take that road. And that's where it all began at. I got into it, and it was rough at first, but I learned the business. And the business did me well, and I had 16 people work. I started with 8 and wound up with 2 salons. But 16 people worked for me. And I had a line of people working. And that's where it came. That's how it all happened.
I remember you specifically being a hair salon guru. You had a hair salon when hair salons was hair salons, where it was ran professionally, where you had a owner, a hair salon manager. You had stylists had the booths, but it was not that they owned a booth. They worked for the salon to make sure the salon was top of the line, and they worked on a commission. Tell us how that got started and how it changed. What made the salon go from what you had to where it's at today?
What happened is that as the salon, when I had it, it was strictly commissioned. There was no booth. The booth rent was not really the main course. Some people were booth renting at some salons, but the main thing for owner to have made money was commission, because commission could show beauticians also where they had money, and they had money in the bank, and they could buy access to certain things that they could do. And so that's what I basically set stuff at for them to do and teach them that. You had to teach them that. And so basically I set time aside with them and taught them everything that they knew as far as the industry was concerned, or how to make money and what to do with their money and everything in that sort. That is what I did. Then after a while, hold on 1 minute. After a while, it came to a point where the booth runner was getting kind of rough and kind of hard to deal with, so I had to stop that, the booth runner. I had to stop the commission. Some people went on with the commission, but the booth runner was coming on in, and I knew it was coming on in, and it's here now. But the booth runner doesn't show the money that the girls can accumulate. They can't buy things like they could buy a house and all that. It's difficult for them to do it, because a lot of times when they do it, they can't show exactly what they make because of the fact that they booth runner. Some of them do it, some of them don't. So it's one to the other, but the best way is commissions. But they like booth runner now.
Well, that's the way. If you have a beauty salon, and I'm not a beauty salon expert by no means, I'm a businessman. However, what I saw when it came to beauty salons back in the 70s and the 80s, people ran a beauty salon business. It was not something where you looked at to pay the rent. It was that you ran the business and you had a salon that was basically branded, and people wanted to come to that salon, and you provided the salon hairdresser with customers. You advertised, you promoted it, your salon had a name, and people came for that particular salon because they knew they could get a good stylist, and the styles were trained, and they were all professional, and you had a hair salon manager, and you had people teach them classes, and everything was professional. What I see in 2016 is you have people who know how to do hair but don't know how to do business. And what happened is people coming into a salon and everybody's renting a particular booth. Nobody has any say-so on how the salon is carried out, how the salon looks. Is it professional? No, because everybody has their own particular little booth, and if it's messy. I went to a hair salon symposium about 4 months ago, and this salon owner was there, and she was giving a seminar. She says, let me explain something to you. You can't have a booth rent place and people come to your salon and your booth is looking raggedy, stuff all thrown around, your hair's not done. How could you represent your company if your own hair's not done and your booth is nasty? What's your take on that, Tony?
Well, when I ran the commission shop, I ran the business, as you well know, Russell, business all the way. And when you came in my shop, I served different wines and had a full staff, and each girl had to have her hair done. She's not going to be on the floor without her hair being done. Because if an individual come in there, no matter who they is, they're with somebody, and they're bringing somebody to the hair salon, if they look at the station and see that there's an operator doing hair, hair ain't done, and they look around the shop, it's an impression on the shop. Well, so I made sure all that was done. I made sure the shop was clean. You cannot have people come in there when you got towels everywhere, hair everywhere, and they paying you money to do their hair. What have happened in the booth rental is that they basically are in control of themselves. In control of themselves, meaning that you're just a client. You're just money most of the time to a lot of them. A lot of them, I can't say all of them, but a lot of them do what they're supposed to do and keep their head straight. But a lot of them just want, it's about the dollar, basically. because the booth fund allows them to do what they want, and nobody controls that. If I open a shop up today, and that's one of the reasons why I have them open them up, because I don't want the booth rent. I open it up today, and they booth rent, they in control of what they is. So when the shop doesn't look a certain way, you can't tell them what to do. You can't tell them I'm going to deduct this or deduct that if you can't keep your station clean or whatever else to the floor. You no longer can do them things. And that takes the business down when that's like that. Sure, people are going to get their hair done because that's what they do. But then they're going to go back and talk about, my hairstylist's place was terrible in there. I mean, I love her to get her hair done, but the place does not look good to me. And that's the problem you got now with the industry. Industry is a multi-million dollar business, and they should treat it basically like that. But with the salon plaza and all them things, the people that own the salon plaza is about the dollar. They don't care whether the booth is right or whatever. It's basically about the dollar with them. The beauticians concerned about their clients. Yes, they are.
Excellent point. You make an excellent point because people don't care about the business anymore. They care about the dollar. The lines are lit up, Tony. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take some calls. And I want you to talk about Lay Salon because that was a pillar in the community as far as the hair industry is concerned. When you walk into Lay Salon, it was totally, totally fabulous. It was like that. So we want to talk about Lay Salon, about how you got the name, et cetera. But we'll be right back with the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. All the people on the line to stay online. We'll come back. We're going to be talking to the one and only Tony Brown, the hair salon guru.
What's going on? Well, he's going to fall in the question, man. I know he's going to get this.
Ain't no stopping on the move. The Russell Price Morning Show, it's all about you. The black card. I was told if you said something three times, you can't forget it. The black card. Get your black card today. It's the most powerful card on the DMV. It tells you where to go, who to call, how to get there, discounts at various businesses in the DMV, and you get to come to all the networking events absolutely free. The next one is May 5th at Charlie's, 7308 Georgia Avenue. It's going to be a big one. Don't miss this one. Everything is going to be $5. $5 top shelf affair. $5 top shelf affair. Where can you buy any kind of top shelf drink for $5? You'll be able to do it at this black card affair on the 5th of May. Also, if you don't drink, you can get any kind of juice you want for $2. You get any kind of, juice or Shirley Temple or any type non-alcoholic drink you want for $3. It's going to be a blast from the past. And I'll be there, and the Be There Magazine Black Card holds will be there. And Tony will be there. You get a chance to see him up close and personal and get a chance to talk to him. Tony, Lay Salon, how did you come up with the name Lay Salon?
Well, there was a guy, when I went in the industry, there was a guy that knew about the business. I didn't know about the business. And he is the individual that gave me the name. He's in the business. And he told me, I said, I don't know what the name is. I'm going to name it Tony. He said, no, name it Lay Salon. So as I came up with it, the name Lay Salon. And it carried on its own. It's come to be a very branded good name.
Mm-hmm.
I served, and I opened up to one side with eight people. Then it got so strong, so big, I had to open up the other side and put 16 people at one time. And back then, 16 people at a salon was really, people couldn't wonder how I could handle so many people at 16 people. And all they ever wanted to do was be treated fair. That's why I was able and had a list of people who wanted to work there because they just wanted to be treated fair. That's all it was about.
Well, if you go to the industry now, especially in the Caucasian world, their salons are still strictly commissioned. You're not going to go in the hair cuttery or any type of Caucasian salon and it's going to be boot printers. That don't happen. It's all done under commission. That's the way it works because they control the salon and the salon does not control them. We have calls in the line. Anybody on the line want to say hello to Tony? Speak up right now. You're on the line. You're on the air with Tony Brown. Go ahead and speak up. You're on the air. Go ahead.
You could even have that new system for
calls. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Visit arsofvirginia.com.
240-263. You're on the air. Go ahead. Tony, tell us.
Yeah, I'm here, but I can't hear nobody.
No, they're not speaking up. Tell me what you want to do today or what you're doing today as far as this salon business, about how you're doing salons and how you can get salons done. Tell me that.
I can't hear you.
Tell me what you're doing today as far as the hair industry.
Doing today as far as hair?
As far as the hair industry, yes.
Well, now I'm beginning to put people in salons. I teach them how to get the salon and show them how to, and once they get it, what to do and how to maintain it. But I'm in the business now of teaching people how to get salons, how to get loans, and I do consulting work, get loans, furniture, construction, and all them type of things. And that's what I do now, which is good. Because we need to
touch you.
Sweetest, your favorite.
240-463-9464.
The pressure on Hakeem in front
excellent,
of the shareholders.
So how hard is it? Give us a background on how hard is it to start a salon today?
For Hakeem, I think he's not a good dad.
How hard is it to start a salon today?
Is it loud in the background? I can't really hear you.
Okay. I'll say, how hard is it to start a salon today?
It's not that difficult. You just got to be able to have some kind of credit. And they've opened up a lot of doors for us to get money, and they have opened up some doors that you can get money through the Small Business Administration. It's doors there, but if we never branch out to go get them, we don't know. The industry is a multi-million-dollar business, like I said, and we can open our own just like the other people, the Spanish people. They run them, but they running them commission, as you will say. And hat cutting reads and all them, they ran a commission. Nobody, they're not going to do boot print. But if an individual want to open his own, it's not that difficult. You got to do your homework, and somebody got to show you what the steps is to go, because if you don't know, you'll be running around with your head cut off trying to get a business. And you got to know where to go, and how to get it done. And once you're in there, you got to know what to do to maintain it, because you cannot treat beauticians like anybody. They're different people. They want to be respected. And a lot of owners get there, and they don't respect the beautician, so they don't keep them in the salon. I was able to keep my people and kept a line of people because you have to give them the respect. That's why a lot of them went booth rent, so they can control their own, because some of the owners had got so they didn't give them the respect they needed, so they went on into the booth rent and got their own. That's the problem that you're going to have. But as
well,
far as them
totally
opening it,
If you are an owner of a salon, the people who are your stylists are your bread and butter. Why would you not treat them with respect? What's the logic behind that?
Because once you, a lot of them become to be an owner, they think that they are over top of them, that like they're so much better than them, but they are not better than them. What I always understood was I eat through them. So if I eat through them, I must be respectable, treat them like I want to be treated at all times. Remember, this is what makes you work, that business. And if you get off course to that at any time, you're going to lose people. You're going to lose your business eventually, and nobody will work for you. And that is what happens to you. So you must always remember that they is what runs your business and keep you fed or your family fed or whatever they do. But you must keep them respectable. Because they stand on their feet 24 hours a day. And they're the ones that's behind that hot stove. You're not doing that. You're just there running your business. And that's where they get mixed up at. And that's what caused this booth runner. And beautician would tell you, the reason I left my shop because they didn't respect me, they didn't like what I was doing, didn't do this, that, stuff, and all that. And that's the trend started, the booth runner, and that's why they don't want to come out of it. But if they go into the Spanish shops, the Chinese shop, they got them. Chinese have blacks working for them now, but they work on the commission. They're not working bouffant in the Chinese shop. I know a shop that is selling supplies, but they got a beauty shop in the back. But they work in commission. They're not working on bouffant because they're not going to allow that. They're not going to open a business up and let you work and pay them so much of money. They're not going to do that. They're going to keep the business. And the business to them is you bring the money to me, and I'll pay your money.
How did the Asian community get so large in the beauty supply aspect of the business selling blacks beauty supply, and now you're telling me they got beauty salons inside the beauty supply store? What made that happen when we are the black people who are using the products? What makes us so in debt to make the Asian community take over the beauty supply business? How did that happen?
It's not hard, and if you stop and think about it, anything that blacks trade to get done that is working for them, you're going to bring in Asians, Spanish people, you want to bring in whites, you're going to bring in all of that. But we're the ones that really dominated back from the corn rolls and all the rest of these things back in Africa. We did all these things. But they know that through blacks, money will be made. And they know that. So what they do is they'll go into our neighborhood and they will do what they got to do, and we will gracefully work for them. Some people work for them rather than work for their own kind. That's what basically happens. So they get power and come into our places. And it's the same way with stores and same thing. They can go in there and sell in our neighborhood. If we was in Japan or China and them places, we can't go sell. They ain't going to buy our food, but they'll come and set their restaurants in our places. And that's what it is, same thing with the hair. And some way they figure that they're inferior of us when they do that, because they definitely will work for them and will work commission. And this is what
I know. I had an individual who put $1 million into a beauty salon, day spa, and beauty supply store. $1 million, and people just walked by. They didn't support it. And then when the Asian beauty supply store opened the same shopping center, they started shopping over there. It didn't make any sense, but blacks did that. She was there almost 8 years, putting her own money, not no loan money. We're talking about her own personal money of $1 million, and hired people, and just nobody respected it. It was too much. It was too classy. It was too upscale. All the things that people say they want, they didn't want it. They'd rather go to a Asian person and get a pedicure and manicure done. They don't even wash the bowl out. They don't care. They just want the $10, whatever they want. It's cheap. They just want something that's cheap. But now you're telling me they're going into the hair salon business. They're now having salons in their beauty supply stores, and blacks are working for them. It's crazy.
Yes, they are.
It's really crazy.
Yes, they are. And what happened, I'm going to tell you the part about that is, it's called supporting your own. That lady or whoever was that had that business right there set everything up. But a problem comes in because so many of our own people see us trying to make it. Rather than help their own, they will go and help them. And that's what it's about. That's how they're able to set up all these little pedicure stands and things of that sort. They're able to do all these things. And how they're able to do it? Because our people will go support them. They'll get the $10 nails, $20, $30, whatever it is. But if a black person open that up, they'll tell you, I don't want to go to do it too cheap. His stuff is cheap. But they'll go to the Chinese and get the same thing done. So breaking the prices down,
well,
not going to even help that.
At one time, Tony, the blacks had the nail business under wraps. You couldn't go to it. You went to a black lady and got your nails done. You didn't go to a Spanish person or a Chinese person. You went to a black person to get your nails done. They had the nail business under wraps. The nail business is gone. The beauty supply business is gone. Now they may tap into the hair salon business. It may be gone. What we got to do now, and that's why the black card is such a powerful, powerful entity. I started the black card a year and a half ago, and it's basically to help businesses stop closing, domestic violence, suicide. But I've got enough people who understand the vision of helping each other. And it doesn't take much to help each other with the Black Card. It takes a $49 investment, and you can now have a better life, better world, better you, better now. We're going to produce things for you to get things done and just show the Black Card. We can go to, there's all kind of places. You go to Facebook where the Black Card is welcome. Mm-hmm. You see all the businesses that honor the Black Card. There's days where you can go get your hair done for free. Just show your Black Card. Go to the restaurant. Get a meal for free. Come out on May 5th and pay $5 for a top-of-the-line drink because we already paid the difference. There'll be a time when you'll come and just show the Black Card and pay nothing. Black Caucus Weekend, you can come to the Congressional Black Caucus Weekend at the Marriott Marquis and go to the Black Card Suite and enjoy yourself. Eat, drink, free because of the Black Card.
Right.
That's what we have to do. We have to come together and support something so we can get something. If you don't support nothing, you'll have nothing. And that's the whole key. People, businesses are closing now, and they don't have anything. So we want to make sure that people support stuff so you have something because D.C. is gone. D.C.
Yes.
is gone. I rode around D.C. I don't know D.C. I came here in 1972. Every historical thing I've ever seen is gone.
U Street is gone.
A Street is gone.
Yes.
They just closed the Chateau. The Chateau
yeah.
was there since 1965. They closed the Chateau. The solar
yeah.
eclipse is closed. This used to be called, D.C. was called the hand dancing capital of the world. Guess what?
Yes.
There's no place to hand dance in D.C. no more. No place to hand dance. They hand dancing in Maryland at the VFW, at the Elks Lodge. There is no
yes,
place.
It is.
In the, how do you have the National Hand Dancing Association and there's no place to dance in D.C.? Now it's no longer the hand dancing capital of the world. It's gone. The hair business
right.
is gone. Everything is leaving now, you know. If I'm looking now to ride down Anacostia and the big chair is torn down, when they tear the big chair down, it's gonna be all over. I'm gonna tear the big chair down. The big chair gonna be going torn down. So we have to come
yeah.
together now and realize that we need to do what's necessary. We're gonna take our last break and we come back. Anyone who wants to speak to Tony, speak up. Tony will give him his last closing statements. But it's such an honor, Tony, to have a man like you who has done it, who have lived it, who has secured it. You are something of an icon in the hair business, and you're still standing. You still are got your feet or hand in the hair business. Now you're helping people to get salons. We also want to touch upon your singing, man. We're going to come back with the last final thoughts of the one and only Tony Brown. We'll be right back.
It must be some of the people calling the block. Amazing.
They don't even know. Ain't no stopping sound. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. And on our newsmaker line, the one and only Tony Brown. I'm going to open the lines back up. Anyone who want to say something to Tony, give Tony a shout out. You can do it now because this man is a true icon. If you're on the air, say hello to Tony. Go ahead.
Social Security and Medicare.
Tony, how did you get involved with the singing?
Huh?
How did you get involved with singing? You sing well also. How did you get involved with singing?
Well, I've been singing for a long since I was back in the teenagers. And I've been in a couple of groups. I was even up there with the Dells and Dramatics and all of them, the group I was in. And, you know, that's been my life. You know, that's the part of life that I love is my music. So that's what I do. Outside of the hair business, I do my music. I love singing. And I'm never going to turn loose.
Go ahead.
I'm never, Russell,
no,
I must say, I'm never. Can you hear me? Can I talk now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm never going to turn a loose helping people in the hair business. This is very important. We are losing. We must stay together and put this thing back together. We are losing the whole industry, and we're losing it to people that wasn't responsible for it being in the first place. We got to be smarter than this. We've got to come together as one and stand up and put this thing back in perspective. If we don't, we're hurting the kids that's coming out of school into the hair. They're going to lose because they really don't know the business. You got to know the business. And if you don't know the business, you're just going through the motion collecting money. And before you look at you 30, 40, 50 years old, and you can't accomplish and know the business. You've got to know the business and move on. People that was with me, most of them girls went on to learn to have their own shop. And they thanked me because I taught them the business. It wasn't just about a dollar. It was the business that they learned. And I talked to a girl yesterday that got two shops, and she thanked me so much for what I taught her in the business. We are losing. We have to wake up. We're losing in the cosmetology, and I'm going to touch on this. We're losing the young people in the streets. We're losing them because they're not getting the job. Jobs are being passed on to other folks, and these kids don't have a turn, and they are doing these things. We've got to wake up and pull ourselves together. We are losing a whole a generation of kids. We're losing the young people as well as the hair. I look around sometimes with tears in my eyes of, like you say, the things that are tore down and the things that used to be not there. But we must take care of these young people. We got to give them the guidance that they needed and help them along because we're in trouble. And I don't care what no one say, we are in trouble. Recognize it. That's why you see the things going on in Washington you see now, because we are in trouble. We come to almost be the lowest totem pole on here now. We were strong, but they are divided. If you divide, you can conquer, and they have divided us. That's why our people now work in the Chinese, go to the Chinese stores, go to all the Chinese restaurants, go to different Mexican places. They're coming into what they know they can divide us in. They know they can divide blacks, and they accomplished that. And once you divide, you can conquer. So we're always going to be fighting. But we must fight for these young people to continue on in life once we are gone, to lay a foundation for their families. And that's where we lose. Our parents did that. We are losing. We got to wake up.
Excellent. Gotta wake up, man. We're gonna wake them up, man. That's what my job is. That's what your job is. You're giving back. I'm at a stage in my life where I give back. The Russell Price Morning Show is all about giving back, man. Live radio to talk about businesses, networking. The magazine is now called Be There Magazine. It used to be Russell's News. It's Be There Magazine, telling you where to be, what to do, how to help each other. That's why we do these events. We do these networking events. We had one this recently called Entrepreneurs Networking Over Coffee. Excellent event, man. People came and they networked. We're pulling people together. It's all about what you said, Tony. It's critical out here now. We have to step up to the plate, help our youth, get these people to understand that we have to reach back, look back, and get people who are coming up. And the people who are there, give back. Give one. That's why I'm going to let people know, if you buy the black card, you buy a part of life. You are doing what's necessary in life. So you need to now help each other. Better life, better world, better now, better you.
Russell,
Tony,
Russell, can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Listen, if you look at what's going on, Russell, the young kids now are getting these guns. They're killing, they're robbing, and all that. Most of them don't think they're going to live to be 22, 25 because the way the life is going. We have got to get these people together. These kids are crying for help. This is a cry for help that you see going on. This is a cry for help from these young people. Back in the day, we never heard all this kind of stuff that's going on, Russell. You know we didn't. And I want to commend you, Russell. I want to commend you. You was way ahead of this game before you are now. You saw this a long time ago. When you was doing that newspaper, walking from salon, riding from salons, and promoting and doing this and doing that, you told me years ago, Tony, after a while, this is going to be greater than you ever can imagine. All these years, you told people way ahead of time about what's going on. And this is what you see.
Sure.
So you was way ahead of the game.
I appreciate it because I was ahead of my time. When I started Russell's News, I was trying to let people know we have to support each other and we have to get information to each other. Information is power. And I did it, and I people say, wow, you never stopped, Russell. No, I never stopped because the need never stopped. The need was
That's
still
right.
there. And they see me now 25 years later. So we talk about 35 years of publishing. Russell, you still
yeah.
in that magazine? Yeah, I'm still doing that magazine. The cause ain't stopped. The situation ain't stopped. It got worse. Look at our businesses now. Look at all the businesses that was in the magazine that's no longer in business. I can go
That's
through
right.
the whole icons of the magazine. They were in business at one time. They're no longer in business.
That's correct.
That's because we
That's
didn't
correct.
Support each other. We didn't do things. You know, they advertised in the Russell's News. 80% of those businesses are out of business. The magazine
correct.
Is still in business, but they're out of business because nobody supported those businesses. They lost money. Look at all the restaurants and nightclubs. All the black nightclubs are gone. They're getting rid of everywhere. All the Foxtrap, Oak Tree, CJ's, all the places are gone. There's no place in D.C.
That's correct.
When you came to D.C. in the 70s, you had the Room. You had the Buck Stops here. The Chef's
Classic.
Club, the Solar Eclipse. That, you know, you had all that stuff, man. The Classics, all that stuff. It's all, there's no black places now existing. It's
no.
gone. The only place in D.C. that's still there is Chuck and Billy's. And they're going to get rid of that
yeah.
eventually. As soon as Chuck died, they're going to get rid of that. I mean, he's the only reason that's there because Chuck is still alive. You know, Chuck
that's
is
right.
dead, but one of the owners is still alive. But when he dies,
that's
guess
right.
what? That's going to. They're going to take
it's
that too.
Going.
So this has been a pleasure and an honor, Tony, to have you on the airwaves. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on May 5th and definitely on the 22nd of July. Spread the word.
Right.
Let everybody know this is the place to be. The place to do things and to make things happen is Be There Magazine and the Black Card. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. We're here every morning from 10 to 10:30. Spread the word. It's going to be a big one.
My man. I'm